Can opposition voices survive in Russia? That's one of the human rights tests that the United Nations is conducting as it looks at the Russian human rights record to see if it's in compliance with the UN standards. It's all happening as Russian officials investigate the murder of Boris Nemtsov, former deputy prime minister and an outspoken critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Ilya Ponomarev is a member of the Russian parliament who's been exiled in the U.S. He says that Russia should fail the UN tests. He represents Siberia, but because of his opposition to President Putin, he's been exiled to the United States. He was the only member of the Russian Duma to vote against the annexation of Crimea, and he joins us now. Welcome, Ilya.
Thanks for having me.
How risky was your vote against Crimea?
I don't think it was risky. I think it was my job to do. I represent people of Siberia, and I was weighing the options for Siberia and the consequences that we will face. And I understand that people of Siberia, we are two-thirds coming from Ukraine. I understood that it would be a breaking for many families that are living in my constituency. So it was a very bad thing to do.
And you're in the United States precisely why?
Because I am barred from coming back to Russia since August. I have a ban that is introduced by Russian court on some ridiculous charges.
And is it your view that your exile is related to your vote on Crimea and the way in which you've positioned yourself in opposition to Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, I think it's actually latter rather than former. I think that was a preemptive measure that I would not vote against on the similar matter. I think that it was preparing an open invasion of our forces into Ukraine, and they were preparing another vote, and they decided that this vote had to be unanimous. It actually happened that the vote didn't take place, and it turned out to be a covert action rather than an open one. But they have unanimous support now in the parliament.
Why do you think Vladimir Putin remains so popular?
Because I think that Russian people actually want something like this. They want to feel great. They want to feel like we are the liberators. And the message for Russian population is extremely simple. We are not conquering Ukraine. We are liberating Ukraine from America, which is introducing its marionette fascist junta in Kiev. And we are liberating them. We are like continuing World War II. That's the message.
And World War II, of course, continued with the nuclear confrontation between the United States and the Soviet Union in the Cold War. Do you think this has nuclear implications from the standpoint of Russians on the street?
I don't think so, because, of course, everybody would understand that it's a madness to do so. But many people believe that, yes, of course, during Cold War, we stopped it. America took it like we lost it. And it's used against us, this fact that we decided to stop the Cold War, and that's what humiliates a lot of people.
What do you think of the death of Boris Nemtsov?
I think that was a murder that was ordered by somebody very close to Vladimir Putin. I have doubts that it was ordered by him himself, but I think it was somebody from the security forces, and I think this is a result of a competition of two major political clans, which were awoken after the annexation of Crimea. They start redistribution of power as before they were redistributing economical property within the country. And by murdering Boris Nemtsov, they wanted to increase their influence. They want to show Vladimir Putin that it's them who is in charge of the country.
What do you say of the theory that Vladimir Putin has possibly a group of very pro-Russian nationalist assassins cultivated from places in Chechnya that will do his bidding, if not follow his orders?
I think it's more or less true. There were several murders in Russia during last decade, which were implemented by those Chechens, and where killers have never been found. Although it was visible by the cameras, etc., there were Chechen faces there. And Chechens, they are very largely infiltrated by military intelligence, GRU, in Russia since the Chechen War. And most likely, they are using those Chechens to carry on their tasks.
Do you think that Vladimir Putin is in danger of losing control of his nationalist movement in Russia? And if so, what should we watch for as a sign Is it in eastern Ukraine? Is it in Georgia? Is it in the Caucasus?
I would separate those two issues. Of course, Vladimir Putin already not in control of many parts of Russia. It's not in control of Chechnya, where Mr. Kadyrov and his guerrilla fighters are ruling. But I wouldn't call them nationalist forces. They are rather separatist forces than nationalist forces. Of course, Vladimir Putin is not in control of eastern Ukraine, where he brought imperialist forces. They call themselves patriots, but they are rather imperialists fighting for greater Russia. And if they would come back to Russia at one point, of course, they would present a great danger for his regime and most likely would like to install their own. But I think that the greatest danger for the stability is coming from within, from the security forces, which are trying to play with Chechens, with these imperialists, with other political movements inside the country. And I think what we should watch is what we should watch for a palace coup. And I think that the first stage of this palace coup is already on the way. Vladimir Putin now disappeared since 5th of March. And I think this is a perfect example that he understands the danger and right now is hiding somewhere and looking how the struggle within his own ranks would develop.
What would you say to someone in Latvia or Estonia who wonders how safe they are given the forces that you've described? And you're, of course, speaking from safe in San Jose, California. What would you say to someone in the Baltics?
I think that since they are part of NATO, they are protected. Although the position of other NATO members like US or Germany or others is very inconsistent and very cautious. So that's why they are worried. They are worried that even being covered by NATO treaty, that nobody would come to rescue them. And in Ukraine, it's already this situation when there was a treaty and nobody actually trying to implement the treaty. I think what they have to do, they have to demand that international community would protect Ukraine and that obligations that were taken on the shoulders of US, UK, and other nations in 1992, when Ukraine abandoned its nuclear arsenal, that those obligations have to be honored and everybody has to demand for it.
Ilya Ponomarev is a member of the Russian Duma, the lower house of the legislature. He's essentially exiled here in the U.S. because of his opposition to President Vladimir Putin. He was the only member of the Duma to vote against the annexation of Crimea. Ilya, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.